Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 431.
Today we hear from Dan the Art Man, who asks, I recently saw Paddington 2. It was a great movie. It impressed me with the fact that it took what was a great complete story on its own with Paddington 1 and just added on a new story that was wonderful and fulfilling all in its own in Paddington 2. I might even have liked it more. They both seem like their own standalone stories, but also work well together as two stories in a series. My question is it best to always plan a series of books with one long arc for the whole series and then an arc for each book? Or do you think it's okay as a new writer to write a whole bunch of standalone books while you're a neophyte and then wait for one to gain a little traction before writing a sequel for it? I realize it's probably best to write a whole series before publishing the first and then put them out in quick succession, but I still have a lot to learn and I don't want to commit to a series just yet. Now, Dan, this is actually a really smart way to do things. There's two competing sets of considerations that you're wrestling with here, and I'm going to separate them out so that they're a little clearer to you. Consideration one is the marketing consideration. It's what kind of audience do you want to hit? We're in an age of binge-worthy TV shows. People like long, involved, complicated stories. There is a known and set market for that, and there's a language for talking about it. So those kinds of things are popular right now. Some of us have always loved stories like that. I'm one of those. Some of us haven't and have just gotten caught up in the wave and are enjoying it for now, but there will come a point where it becomes tiresome. And you find yourself just wanting the quick bites, the standalone books, that sort of thing. The biggest series in the world right now, at least last time I checked, is the Jack Reacher series. Those are standalone books. They don't have any common thread to hold them together, except for a couple of the books more recently have had minor characters that carry over from one book to the next. These are old-style episodic books with a pulp hero that doesn't change. There is definitely an appetite for that. There's also an appetite for stuff that falls somewhere in the middle. Stuff like Piers Anthony's Xanth series, which is still going strong after 30-odd books. He could only hold me for the first 15 or so, but boy, I did enjoy every one that I read. Or my own Clark Lantham Mysteries, where each story stands alone, but it's got hooks in either side, so if you string them together in the right order, you do get something bigger emerging. But it's not necessary to read them in order to enjoy them. You find this sort of thing actually a lot in crime fiction. Just about everything by Michael Connelly, his Lincoln Lawyer series, his Hieronymus Bosch series, both of those have this kind of progression to them. The character grows and changes, but there isn't a central plot thread that is so important to understanding and enjoying each book that you have to read them in order. They're designed to be read out of order, but once you pick them, if you jump back to the first book and read through, you pick up extra. It's like bonus features if you read them in the right order. Like I said, that's what I've done or what I'm trying to do with my Clark Lantham books, though. There's a book coming up that might break that pattern. Because I am the kind of reader I am, I tend to gravitate towards writing those kinds of densely nested stories. Which brings us to consideration number two. Consideration number one is the market. How you're going to present it, how you're going to sell it, how you're going to release it, who you want your target audience to be. And I hope I've demonstrated that either strategy can work. You just, when you get to the marketing point, you want to know which one you're doing so that you can direct your marketing campaigns appropriately and you don't wind up wasting a lot of time running experiments that simply won't work on the face of them because of the kind of strategy you're pursuing literarily. Now let's talk literary, artistic, that end of things. What you want to do to be successful with either of these strategies, as a writer and as an artist, what you want to do is tell the story in the form that it seems to you it needs to be told. Yeah, there's a lot of stories that could be told as long nested arcs, and there's a lot of stories that could be told as quick shot standalones. But each story, at least as far as my experience has shown me, seems to have... there's a sense of itself. There's an old saw about how Michelangelo, when asked about sculpting, said that he approached the marble as if the sculpture was already complete in it, and his job was to remove the unnecessary bits. That sort of distancing between author and subject is really, really useful, because it allows you the freedom to ignore marketing considerations, to ignore senses of personal obligation, and to look at the story as if it's something that's going to go out into the world without you, and you want it to have the best chance of success possible, like you're a parent or something, right? You want the story to be itself. So if you have a story that seems to you that it's going to be a long, involved serial, you will approach telling that story, you will approach writing that story differently, and certainly you'll approach publishing that story differently than you might with a series that is a bunch of episodics, or if you decide you want to write standalone novels for a while and then come back and revisit characters if you get ideas that strike your fancy. And there's nothing wrong with that either. You want to make the artistic decision based on what is appropriate for the idea you're working with, for the story you're telling, and you may not know when you start out, but you certainly will have a good idea by the time you get, say, 3/4 of the way through the book. The book will have revealed itself to you. So, let's talk about one other aspect of this, and that is craft. The best and worst thing I did for my career, so far, are both the same thing. Best thing and worst thing. The best thing and worst thing I did was I wrote book one of a series, and then I went and wrote something else. And then I went and wrote something else, and I went and wrote something else, and I circled back around and wrote book two of that series. And then I went and wrote something else, and then I went and wrote something else. I did this on purpose, because by halfway through book one, I realized that the story I was trying to tell was one I had to grow into. It was beyond me. And so I gave myself permission to leave that big story for a while, to go out into the universe and hone my skills, explore other territory, and then bring back what I'd learned to that series so that the next book could be better and that I would be up to the job. In between those two books, I wrote 4 or 5 books, maybe 6. And then between books 2 and 3, I wrote a further 7 or 8 books. And now I'm finally back, and this is the big series I'm working on right now. I'm at the point where I can actually tell the whole story, and it's requiring a substantial amount of reworking of the earlier installments, which is why I pulled them from the market and I'm retitling them. But it took me a long time to grow into that idea. And jumping around and doing different genres, different subgenres, exploring different territories, writing different kinds of characters, all gave me the elbow room I needed and the different kinds of challenges I needed to grow into that big story that I simply would not have found if I had tried to power through that big story. It's not that it was beyond me. I try to pick every project so that it's a little beyond me. It's that it was beyond me in ways I didn't understand. And there were too many of those ways. So I had no idea how to even approach it. It's beyond you enough to stretch you, and then it's beyond you enough that you can't make it, no matter how hard you try. And this story was just too important to me not to do it right. So I went over and did other things. And out of those other things came Suave Rob and Clark Lantham and Hadrian and Chanji Aya and all of my favorite heroes and heroines for the journeys I've gone on in the meantime, and short story series like the Lombard Alchemist Tales. Process has allowed me to find my voice and to understand that the freedom of movement I have and the kind of big playing field I'm on that I probably would not have gotten any idea of if I had tried to stay in a narrow lane of a single series for the first several books. So yeah, I think not starting off with a major series, or at least if you do, being willing to take a right turn or a left turn now and then and going off into the bushes and writing some side books, from an artistic development point of view, very, very smart. From a professional development point of view, don't quit your day job. It makes the journey between your first book and being able to make a living off your income as a writer much longer. Much longer. And you have to be willing to pay that kind of price. if that's where your priority is. I've got split priorities. I'm a businessman. I like making money. But when it comes to my writing, I am an artist with a capital A. And I've always viewed that as a bit of a character weakness because of the kind of obstruction it has presented in my professional life. But now that I'm a significant way down that road, I realize that it really was the correct choice for me. And the costs that I have borne as a result of that, I've borne gladly. Not always been fun, but I've borne them gladly because I like the kind of writer it's turned me into. Your psychology, your priorities, your values may be different, and you want to choose your path based on what you value. But choose your path understanding the costs, both the opportunity costs of not doing it the other way, and the actual costs of doing it whatever way you're deciding to do. And keep in mind that if you start off with a big series, that doesn't mean you can't branch out anywhere else. And it doesn't mean you can't write other books between those big books and keep them off the market until you're done with this current phase of your career. I know several writers who've done that too and have done really well for themselves. I did not have that kind of perspicacity. I did not engage my business thinking at the right point in the process, and so I missed that opportunity, and my strategy on that point turned out to be counterproductive. That's okay. Life goes on, you learn. So, for whatever that's worth, decide based on your ambitions, your values, your artistic inclinations, how you want to develop as an artist, and then bring the business mind in and figure out how best to capitalize on that trajectory you've settled on for your professional development. If your values line up primarily with the money end of things, and you see the artistic development as a servant of the money end of things, then structure your strategy that direction. If you see your artistic development as primary and the money end of things as the necessary component to making your art matter, which is a little more the direction I come from, then structure your decisions appropriately. But structure them as appropriately for you. I know people from both camps and all over the middle who have done very, very well, and I know people from both camps and from all over the middle who have done very, very poorly, and I know many people from all of the camps who quit after 3 books, because that's what people do. So persistence is a virtue no matter which path you pick. Thanks for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc., and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.